Starting to wrap up hour number two of our 2022 year in review when it comes to the world of sports right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. My name's Matt Pauly. When you look back at 2022, you continue to see sports gambling playing a larger and larger role in the sports world overall. More and more states are continuing to legalize it. There are more places where you can lay down bets. There's more information where you can consume content about betting. It is absolutely everywhere. And to talk about the impact on sports betting on the sports world, we're very happy to welcome onto the program. He is Greg Peterson. You hear him hosting the Greg Peterson Experience on VSiN. Follow him on Twitter at GUnit_81. Greg, thanks so much for taking some time with us. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. How are you?
Always appreciate it, Matt. I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, let's. I want to start by kind of talking about the business of sports gambling with you, because more and more states are legalizing it. You're right in the middle of all of it. You're based in Vegas. You're hosting on the Vegas Stats and Information Network, VSiN. So you're talking to people on an everyday basis. What have you seen maybe in the last year, even beyond the last year, just as more and more states have legalized sports gambling?
What you're noticing is that there's just more demand for it in general, because, I mean, when I moved out here to Las Vegas in 2017, it was just then that you were starting to see more places like ESPN, Fox Sports, insert your major network here, that would actually post up the line in the game. That was taboo, like, 8 years ago, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less than that, but there was not really a lot of acceptance for sports betting. And when things got legalized in 2018, in which more states outside of Nevada could add it, there were a lot of states that jumped on board. And now more and more states are saying, all right, this is a way to generate money. As we know, things have not necessarily been going the world's greatest for many people's stocks over the last few years. And states are sitting there thinking, you know what? We could generate some money. There's a lot of demand for sports betting. It's become a little bit less taboo. So a lot of people have been diving into it, a lot of companies, a lot of states, and I expect that to continue to increase, because there's still quite a few states, like the great state of Wisconsin doesn't have a lot of it. You still have a few other states that they have some sports betting, but they don't necessarily have it online. And I think that that's the biggest thing as well, just being able to be sitting there on your couch, not having to be in a casino, and just watch the game on your own TV, not having to buy expensive drinks, just sitting down, watching a game, having a bet on it. That's something that is appealing to a lot of people in this day and age.
Yeah, it's interesting to me that the states that have not legalized it, because I previously did live in Wisconsin, and there's a lot of people who were crossing the border to go down to Illinois or even going to Iowa. Right now I live in Missouri, and same thing. You can in the St. Louis area, we're right on the Mississippi, and you can just go over a bridge and go over to the casinos that are in Illinois, and you can place legal sports bets. And what I find interesting all that is you can literally see tax money, you know, just going across bridges and across rivers. So I don't know. It feels like people are just letting, you know, governments are just letting kind of, you know, money walk across their state borders.
And let's call it what it is as well, because those people are going over the border to place those bets. That also means that they're going to be like, oh, I'm here. I have to go across the border anyway. Let's go grab lunch at this nearby city as well. Let's maybe make a day out of it as well. So it's a lot of tourism dollars that is being lost by these states that aren't allowing for it. And especially if you're in a state like we were talking about a little bit earlier, like you're mentioning Missouri. I used to live in Wisconsin. You've got a couple of states that they've got legal sports betting right next to it. That's a lot of money that is being left out there by these states, and that is a big issue for them.
So with VSiN, DraftKings is part of VSiN. They had acquired VSiN somewhat recently. And we have all these companies, whether it is DraftKings and FanDuel and BetMGM, and then there's all kinds of smaller ones, even a Barstool Sportsbook, which is connected to Penn. Betfred Sports is one that's trying to sit there and get, like, there's so many, I can't even name them all. Is there a point, because there's so much money being spent, obviously the industry is a robust industry, but do you think at some point in time some of these sports gambling operators may fall by the wayside because there's just too much right now?
I think the big question is, do some of these states that have not legalized sports gambling dive in, or does it take a little bit of a while longer? Because if you get California into the mix, that's millions upon millions of new people that you're able to sponsor it to. Both of us are gentlemen from the state of Wisconsin. Trust me, we know a lot of people from our home state that they'd be more than happy to sign up for whatever operator it is, DraftKings, FanDuel, you name them all. They'd be happy to sign up for any one of them. So I think the big question is, how long does it take for these states to be able to legalize? Because if it stays relatively stagnant the next few years, absolutely. If it does not, if we do see a California, if we do see a Wisconsin really make it statewide, because Wisconsin actually does have a little bit. If you go to Oneida Bingo Casino, for those that live out in the great state of Wisconsin, you're able to do it there, but that's about it. But if it becomes a little bit more statewide, absolutely these companies can succeed. If it's a segment, then you're going to see a little bit of a drop-off.
It's also weird to me that these companies are spending so much on content creators and people who are supposed to help you gamble on sports, yet the companies make money when you lose. So it's a very odd thing right now, where there's people out there whose jobs are to help people make right picks, yet at the same time, they're working for companies that quite honestly want you to lose.
Yep, it is very interesting, and I think the biggest thing with it is when you have a little bit of a sale, like say at a grocery store, you're advertising like the sale on oranges, chicken breasts, what have you. The reason why you're doing that is because you want those customers to be able to come into the door, and then you sell them the price things, which by that we mean you got sports bettors like myself that typically we do a lot of just normal straight bets. Nothing that is way too far off the reservation. It's not going to be something that it's going to be a life-changing hit at 75-1, but you know what? You're able to hit like a Packers-Bears game. You're feeling relatively good about yourself, but that leads to a lot of people thinking, man, if I also, along with that Packers-Bears game, pick correctly Lions versus Panthers, and on top of that, pick correctly the New England Patriots game, if I get all those three correct on a parlay, it pays, oh, would you look at that, like 8-1. Boom, I'm able to make a lot of money. But as we know, being able to get one pick correct, that is very, very difficult. And that's the way that a lot of books are making their money, by taking a look at a lot of these sort of offerings that they look like they're going to pay very, very big, but they're very hard to hit, like parlays. And that's the biggest thing with these companies, in my opinion, is to sell off the like one or two generic picks that are at right around a -110 spread. By that, I mean you put down $110 to get back 100, and then lure people in to try to hit more of these long shots, because as we know, they're called long shots for a reason.
Greg Peterson, who hosts the Greg Peterson Experience on VSiN, continuing to join us as we get into the new year. SportsMap Radio and VSiN are going to be doing a lot more work together, and a lot more VSiN content is going to be on the network. So Greg's a voice you might be hearing more and more moving forward. Before I get you out of here, certainly wanted to ask you a couple questions about some of your passions. We'll start by looking back at the 2022 college basketball season. Kansas ends up winning. They defeat North Carolina in the championship game. It was also the end of the run for now former Duke coach Mike Krzyzewski. What, just as you look back at the 2022 college basketball season, what really jumps out at you?
I think what really jumps out at me is that it just reaffirms the fact that when it comes to the NCAA tournament, you find this in a few sports, but I do think that it's very much a case of college basketball. It's not always the top teams that make the Final Four, make the national championship. It's all about the draw. Like Kansas, who won the national title. At no point did I really have them outside of like the top six, top seven. I thought that they were a solid team all season, but the reason why I picked them in my bracket was not because I thought that they were the best team in college basketball. I thought that they got the best road, and that's what makes college basketball just so unique. because there's so much parity. It is a one-and-done tournament, and we saw that with an 8 seed in North Carolina making the national championship. And now that we know how the first month and a half or so of the college basketball season has went, we can find out that, hey, maybe North Carolina's run, it was a little bit fluky, but that is sort of just the madness and the magic of March that you do find these teams like North Carolina, like St. Peter's, being able to make their runs. And you mentioned some of the great coaches that have stepped down as well. It's a little bit of a new day and age in college basketball. There's a lot of coaches like Coach K, like Jay Wright, that they've decided, you know what, I don't want to be going through the hoopla of the transfer portal. Who knows what name, image, and likeness, and perhaps a little bit more, is going to be meaning for college basketball. So it is a changing landscape in that you're on the hot seat and you're not necessarily given that 4 years like you used to be in college basketball, because teams expect to win right away. And we've seen that with a lot of turnarounds, like a team like Iowa State, for instance, who had won just two games during the 2020-21 season, 2021-22 season. They win two games in the NCAA tournament alone.
Yet you have a Bill Self at Kansas who has been connected to so many things that are against the rules. He had to sit out some games at the beginning of this season, but it certainly does not seem to be impacting that program.
Nope, not at all. I mean, it just takes the NCAA so long to be able to issue any sort of punishment whatsoever, because I think everything that was linked to Bill Self, it was from like 4 or 5 years ago as well. So that just shows you how long it takes for the NCAA to operate and stand down any sort of punishment whatsoever. Louisville finally got their sanctions from, I think it was a stripper case of like 5 to 6 years ago as well. So that goes to show you as well that in terms of keeping up with the times, the NCAA still is not there here in 2022 going into 2023.
And the last topic for you, Major League Baseball, the Houston Astros beat the Philadelphia Phillies. Couple old school managers in Rob Thompson, Dusty Baker. Baker's been around forever. Thompson's been a baseball lifer who finally got his first opportunity as a manager. And I don't know, for me, it was cool to see those two guys. And it was, even with it being the Houston Astros, there's not a whole lot of people around there that are still connected to the cheating scandal. It was nice to see a guy like Dusty Baker, who had not won a World Series as a manager, to finally get one.
Yep, it was very nice. And I know that there's been a lot of critics of Dusty Baker over the years in terms of the way that sometimes he utilizes his in-game pitching, but he did a masterful job all postseason long. And from the second half of the season on, really from the All-Star break on, it was very clear that the Houston Astros were that top team. They had a very solid offense, but on top of that, it goes to show the importance of pitching as well, because the reason why the Phillies were able to get to the World Series is that their bullpen had not been so great during the regular season, but stepped up in a big way in the postseason. They were able to have Zach Wheelan and Dylan Wheeler, as I like to call them, along with Aaron Nola, have some big performances. But in the end, the best team in terms of overall pitching in Major League Baseball, the Houston Astros, they were the team that won the World Series. And it was a season that, while we're all going to remember Aaron Judge, it truly was the year of the pitcher, as offensive numbers across the league were down.
He is Greg Peterson. You hear him on VSiN doing the Greg Peterson Experience. You can hear him in season with his college basketball podcast and in season with his Major League Baseball podcast. He also is a contributor with DraftKings Nation. So you definitely want to follow him on Twitter at GUnit_81, GUnit_81. Greg, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. I'm sure we'll be talking again very soon.
Absolutely. Always do appreciate our chats, Matt. Thank you.
That's Greg Peterson from VSiN joining us as we look back at the year that was in 2022. Up next, we'll look back at the Stanley Cup Final on the Sports Map Radio Network.